from the studios of Free Radio Santa Cruz, you're listening to Earth First Radio. Stay tuned for No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music.
You're cutting chainsaws, killing the trees, something, everything that lives in peace. Our animal friends are on the run.
And welcome to Earth First Radio. I'm Uncle Dennis. Each week I bring you No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music for activists on the front lines of the environmental movement. In the news, you'll hear about corporations, government agencies, and people who are killing the planet, and folks who have the detailed information about saving what's left. They all have names, addresses, phone numbers, fax numbers, email, or web addresses, so please go get a pencil or a pen and some recycled paper to write down the information, because this isn't couch potato radio. It's activist radio, and I'm asking you to take down the information and act on it. You really can make a difference by writing letters, sending faxes, and making phone calls when you aren't out in the woods, up in a tripod or a tree sit, locked down at the Dragon in the road blockade, or getting run over by the Coast Guard in your jet ski. If you have information, news, comments, or announcements for Earth First Radio, please do keep that pencil and paper handy and listen for the contact information later on in the show. Let's start off with announcements here.
The Earth Liberation Front has officially claimed responsibility for burning down the Superior Lumber Company in Glendale, Oregon on January 1st, 2001. This latest act by the ELF caused at least $400,000 in damages. Here's their communique. We torched the Superior Lumber in Glendale, Oregon on January 1st, 2001. Superior Lumber is a typical earth raper, contributing to the ecological destruction of the Northwest. What happened to them should shock no one. This year, 2001, we hope to see an escalation in tactics against capitalism and industry. While Superior Lumber says, make a few items and do it better than anyone else, we say, choose an earth raper and destroy them. Signed, Earth Liberation Front. And Assistant U.S. Attorney Bob Ross, on the 10th of January, filed a motion to dismiss all charges against six of the eight remaining defendants being prosecuted in relation to protests at Eagle Creek Timber Sale in Mount Hood National Forest in Oregon. Mr. Ross was uncertain of his ability to obtain guilty verdicts against those six and to defend those verdicts on appeal. The United States is dropping the closure order against the two remaining defendants. The bad news is now the government will be focusing on those two defendants and will be seeking jail time for the two remaining petty misdemeanors, are punishable by 6 months in prison per count. From the beginning, the government has pursued these two far more than the other defendants because these two are accused of maintaining pods which were blocking roads. In our perception, the government found these actions to be more hardcore than the others, and the government therefore decided to stomp on these two, whereas the other defendants were less of a priority. For example, the government always sought jail time for these two, but not for the other six, and we're not releasing those names at this time. And activists arrested attempting to protect bison in West Yellowstone, Montana. Buffalo Field Campaign volunteers occupied a U.S. Forest Service road Thursday, blocking access to a bison capture facility site on the Horse Butte Peninsula. One activist sat in a platform suspended from a tripod while another attached herself to a locking device buried in the road. A third perched in a tree and videotaped as law enforcement personnel worked to remove the protesters and dismantle the blockade. Montana Department of Livestock agents arrived at the protest site around 8 a.m. and focused attention on Jana Jensen, who was blocking the road. After moving her sleeping bag, agents took her food and water. Faced hypothermia in the sub-freezing temperatures, Jensen released from the lockdown on her own after 3.5 hours. Agents then focused on the man in the tripod, attempting to knock him from his perch 30 feet above the ground by poking him with a long stick, said activist group Buffalo Field Campaign reported. Law enforcement officers later used a cherry picker to remove first the videographer and then the man occupying the tripod, both of whom were arrested. State and federal wildlife officials harass and sometimes shoot bison that leave the park to prevent the potential transmission of brucellosis to domestic cattle. Brucellosis is a disease carried by some bison that can cause animals to abort their fetuses. There is no known or proven case of buffalo transferring brucellosis to cows. There are no cows on Horse Butte until June of this year, Buffalo Field Campaign said. All of those cows winter in Idaho and are vaccinated against brucellosis. Although the grazing allotment brings in less than $800 to the U.S. Treasury, state and federal governments have committed more than $40 million over the next 15 years to haze, capture, and slaughter buffalo, Buffalo Field Campaign activists said. Powerful livestock interests are robbing our treasury with one hand while they slaughter America's last wild herd of buffalo with the other, Buffalo Field Campaign spokesperson Dan Brister said. Today's actions demonstrate our commitment to bring the unnecessary slaughter to a stop. And no jail for Idaho loggers convicted of violence. This story written by Neville Judd from Squamish, British Columbia, Canada. Five loggers convicted for their part in a violent attack on an environmentalist protest camp in 1999 will serve no jail time in sentences handed down by a Canadian judge last week. Environmental groups have condemned the sentences as lenient, particularly when compared to the one-year jail term handed down to 72-year-old great-grandmother Betty Krawczyk. Krawczyk was convicted of criminal contempt of court for her nonviolent defiance of a court injunction at the same camp in the Idaho Valley, 170 kilometers north of Vancouver. She has served more than 100 days in jail and appeals her sentence to the British Columbia Court of Appeals. BC Provincial Court Justice Ellen Burdett said the attackers carried out at the camp and its occupants September 15, 1999, were premeditated and directly involved in at least 10 of 15 of the 70 men present that day. Burdett had harsh words for International Forest Products, or Interfor, a Vancouver-based logging company, logging in the Idaho Valley. At the least, Interfor gave tacit corporate approval to the violence, said Burdett in her sentencing at the Squamish Provincial Court. Three people were hospitalized in that attack on the camp occupied by members of the Forest Action Network, People's Action for Threatened Habitat, and Friends of the Idaho. The Idaho is home to a grove of about 50 Douglas firs and western red cedar aged more than 1,000 years old. The grassroots action camps were dedicated to keeping the temperate rainforests of the British Columbia intact. Three of the men sentenced last Thursday are Interfor employees, Richard James, Leslie Zoner, and Alexander McLeod. The other two, Donald Kulak and Thomas Lloyd, were Interfor contractors. James pled guilty and was convicted of criminal assault. The other four men pled guilty too and were convicted of criminal mischief, which carries a maximum sentence of 6 months in jail and a $2,000 Canadian fine. All five received suspended sentences with 1 year of probation. The men must take anger management classes, send letters of apology to the victims, and undertake 40 hours of community service. The four must pay $1,250 Canadian in restitution to each of the victims. James, the only man sentenced for criminal assault, was not required to pay restitution. Originally, all five loggers faced up to seven different charges, including assault. We are pleased the British Columbia Provincial Court recognizes that these men from Interfor are guilty of anti-environmental criminal violence, said Ken Wu of the Western Canada Wilderness Committee. Western Canada Wilderness Committee spent 2 years researching and mapping the Idaho Valley, building the Douglas Fir Loop Trail, which falls within Interfor's logging cut blocks on Tree Farm License 38. The Vancouver-based group has long campaigned for the Idaho Valley to be protected as part of a national park reserve to be known as the Stoltman Wilderness. Western Canadian Wilderness Committee Tree Surveyor Coordinator James Jameson claims to have been dragged from his van before being punched and kicked and thrown to the ground during the September 15th attack. His van was damaged and Western Canada Wilderness Committee's two-way radio and Jameson's cameras were stolen. The Wilderness Committee condemns violence by anyone, said Wu. The only people charged, convicted, and sentenced for criminally violent activities of assault and property destruction in the Idaho Valley are these men from Interfor. But Wu was disappointed by the sentences. The courts have sent a strong message that violent criminal assaults against environmentalists will be not looked at as criminal serious charges, while those who peacefully protest the destruction of our ancient forest heritage should be expect extremely lengthy jail sentences. Douglas McPherson, a friend of the Yellow Host, said he was outraged. "We can clearly see how the justice system and the government condone this violence against nonviolent protesters who were using their democratic voice to oppose the liquidation of old-growth forests for corporate profits. The power holders in this province will stop at nothing to ensure that they keep making their money while the natural heritage of all people in this province, especially the native nations who have never surrendered sovereignty, are robbed of a future with a sustainable forest economy." Greenpeace called the punishment a slap on the wrist. "In British Columbia, grandmothers get a full year in jail for sitting peacefully in the middle of the road," said Greenpeace forest campaigner Catherine Stewart. "Vigilantes, on the other hand, are told to take anger management courses. British Columbia's international reputation will get another black eye when word of this sentence gets out, which it will, and it is." While applauding the judge's criticism of Interfor, Stewart took issue with Burdett's suggestion that calculated provocation by the protesters should be a mitigating factor in the sentencing. "That's rather like saying rapists should receive a suspended sentence because their victim was wearing a short skirt," said Stewart. "Blaming the victim is reprehensible." And in an announcement here, environmental activist sweat lodge ceremony coming up. George Bush's New World Order is about to take power. Urban sprawl and global economic rule are spreading at a cancerous rate. Species are becoming extinct at a rate of one per breath. It's hard to avoid becoming paralyzed and disillusioned. Common sense be damned. Your impact is needed now more than ever. The circle of life deserves to be honored. Pain can be transformed. Hope must be kept alive. We gather together to celebrate Martin Luther King Day, to share in the struggles we all fight in our own way, to align with the rhythms of the winter season. Come share what's in your heart. Pray for what matters most to you. Connect with the wellspring of life. For through prayer and intent, we can align our spirits, revitalize hope, access real power, and remember who we really are. This is going to take place Monday, January 15th at 5 p.m. in Altadena, California. If you have questions or need directions, which I'm sure you do, contact Jeff. His number, 323-656-5995. That's Jeff at 323-656-5995. Or you can email him at hohensee, H-O-H-E-N-S-E-E, at earthlink.net, and pass the word to anyone deeply involved in the work. And we did. Future of 62 million acres at stake. The ICBEMP call-in day is Tuesday, January 16th. The Clinton administration is poised to sign into law the Interior Columbia River Ecosystem Management Project as one of his final acts impacting federal lands. Please take a moment on Tuesday, January 16th, to call or fax George Frampton, Council on Environmental Quality in Washington, D.C. That number, 202-456-6224. That's 202-456-6224. And urge the administration not to sign a record of decision. And one of the most important hearings on the Bologna project in the Los Angeles, California area is coming up on Wednesday, January 17th. Natural park or traffic generating development, which would you rather see for the 70 acres of the Bologna wetlands ecosystem known as Area C on Bologna Creek in Los Angeles, California? Come express your views at a hearing called by California State Controller Kathleen Connell. That's taking place Wednesday, January 17th at the Loyola Marymount University in the St. Roberts Hall Auditorium. The address, 7900 Loyola Boulevard in the Westchester District of Los Angeles, from 4 to 6:30 p.m. Parking is about 5 to 10-minute walk away from the auditorium. For directions, go to www.lmu.edu and click on the campus map for further details. That will be the St. Roberts Hall Auditorium. That email or that web address again, www.lmu.edu, and click on the campus map. Tell all your neighbors, friends, and family to come to this important hearing. This is the first parcel of land at Bologna that is possible to become a natural state park area and is not tied to untenable development. The National Conference on Organized Resistance, formerly the National Conference on Civil Disobedience, is in its fourth successful year. In years past, the NCCD has played a significant role in coordinating a dialogue between activist groups and sparking in-depth discussion of strategy and tactics for our various social justice movements. This year, NCOR again envisions being a useful forum for cutting-edge discussion for people at all different levels of involvement. Last year, over 600 people converged in Washington, D.C. for a weekend of experience, discussion, planning, and protest. Don't miss this year. We have a fantastic weekend scheduled. I'm assuming this is again in Washington, D.C. It does not say. NCOR will be held the weekend of January 27th and 28th and involves 30 workshops on topics such as counterintelligence, activist gatekeeping, the prison-industrial complex, food politics, nonviolence, and anarchism. Speakers include Ward Churchill, Cindy Milstein, Rod Coronado, Julie Davids, Mark Goldstone, and many, many others. One-time registration fee for all workshops is $10. To find out the schedule, register, find out about rides and housing and anything else you want to know, www.organizedresistance.org. That's www.organizedresistance.org. Here's a proposal. Dear Forest Activists, this is a proposal that we have the first California Forest Activist Organizing and Strategy Conference, February 9th through 11th at the Mendocino Woodlands. Cost would be about $35 per person, including food, with scholarships available. Four to a cabin on the coast near Mendocino, California. Bob Martell of Humboldt Watershed Council and I need your input right now to see if you would be willing to come to this location to share the expenses or scholarships and make this date. Let us know immediately. You have all received the proposed agenda, but here it is again, utilizing the agencies and attending public hearings, using water issues to connect the state, interfacing public and private land issues, land swaps, etc., understanding how bad land use harms other people's private property, becoming better lobbyists, mass and local grassroots organizing, labor and worker outreach and organizing, sharing skills and information, media rallies, mailing lists, etc., developing statewide and local ballot initiatives, and creating a statewide movement. This is brought to you from Daryl Ernie of Environmentally Sound Productions. His address, P.O. Box 2254, Redway, California, 95560. That's Environmentally Sound Productions, P.O. Box 2254, Redway, California, 95560. You can send me email to ensopro@asis.com. That's ensopro@asis.com. And here's a paid position to make more radicals help organize student protests. The Illinois Student Environmental Network at Urbana is hiring a networking coordinator. It's a 6-year-old nonprofit located in downtown Urbana, Illinois, seeking qualified applicants. It's part-time, 20 hours a week, and begins on January 29th. Your networking coordinator is going to be able to respond to requests, facilitate network and interaction, keep tabs on changing members and projects, create and update the membership and web page, create and update printed membership directories, assist trainings coordinator, and work with member services coordinator. You'll need excellent oral and written communication skills. You'll need to know how to do web page creation or updates. Computer proficiency, especially with Mac's PageMaker and Microsoft Word experience, ability to work in a fast-moving office environment, blah, 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 blah. To apply, send an email, cover letter, and resume, and a writing sample, and at least 3 references to Laura, Director of Illinois Student Environmental Network, 110 South Race, Suite 205, Urbana, Illinois, 61801. That's Laura Ruth, Director, ISEN, 110 South Race, Suite 205, Urbana, Illinois, 61801. Or send email to isen@prairienet.org. That's isen@prairienet.org. If you have any questions, call 217-384-0830. That's 217-384-0830. Call to Action is hiring for their Spring 2001 tour. They'll be providing outreach and education on the Free Trade Area of the Americas, the Citigroup campaign, and forest defense within the United States. Organizing and direct action workshops will also be offered. The tour begins February 16th in Portland, Oregon, and ends in Portland, Oregon on May 1st. You have to get your butt to Portland, Oregon by February 12th and stay with the tour. And you might get an $800 a month stipend, but they're still working on that. There are 6 openings, women, People of color, lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgendered individuals are encouraged to apply. We're looking for folks who are proficient in at least two of the following categories: city group, race and class, prison industrial complex, gender, nonviolence, direct action, legal, media, free trade area of the Americas, or racist economics 101. You can visit the website at www.calltoaction.org. That's www.calltoaction.org for more information. I believe there's an application on the site, or you can call for information. Talk to Michael at 503-804-9378. That's 503-804-9378. Or send email to resist@calltoaction.org. Little note here, the California Department of Forestry now has their timber harvest plans available on the web. That's www.fire.ca.gov/resource-management/THNCA.ASP. Once again, that webpage, www.fire.ca.gov/resource-management/THNCA.ASP. And Forest Guardians unveiled a clickable web map and searchable database of all southwestern National Forest grazing allotments used by ranchers and banks as loan collateral. A 1938 policy change allowed ranchers to begin using grazing permits as collateral when seeking loans. This has enabled ranchers to borrow between $1 to $2 billion and given banks a major financial stake in maintaining high cattle numbers in the West. Forest Guardians and other conservationists believe allowing grazing permits to be used as collateral in this way was bad public policy and may be illegal. We'll visit the map at www.fguardians.org/escrowalot.html. That's www.fguardians.org/escrowalot.html. Snowmobilers illegally riding in places they do not belong is a growing problem, which is degrading wilderness areas. Snowmobiles disrupt solitude and quiet places, reduce secure habitat for rare species such as wolverine, lynx, and grizzly bear. The Last Refuge campaign is working to document snowmobile trespass in roadless and wilderness areas in Montana and elsewhere, to demonstrate the severity of the problem and pressure the Forest Service to increase patrols to catch law-breaking snowmobilers in the act. If you can provide information, send email to ariss13@hotmail.com. That's ariss13@hotmail.com to report snowmobile trespass or to obtain a fact sheet on the problem. If you'd like more information, contact Adam, The Last Refuge Campaign, 406-542-7343. That's 406-542-7343. Want to listen to music and save rainforest at the same time? Go to www.rainforestjukebox.org. That's www.rainforestjukebox.org. Rainforest Benefit Concert for Ecuador's Jungle, the Monkeys, Dolphins, Jaguars, Mighty Trees, and Indigenous People. Thank you. This is being put together by John Seed of the Rainforest Information Center. There's a bunch of music there. So once again, click on it. Every click counts. www.rainforestjukebox.org. Looking for some music by Casey Neal? Well, you can catch Casey January 19th and 20th at Ocean Shores, Washington at the Galloway Bay. This is the full trio. There's no cover. The address, 676 Ocean Shores Boulevard, Northwest, number 6. That's, once again, Casey Neal Trio playing 2 days, January 19th and 20th at Ocean Shores in Washington at Galway Bay. More information at 360-289-2300. That's 360-289-2300. Or go to www.galway-bay.com. And here's some good news. After targeting home builders and office suppliers, environmentalists toiling to save the world's oldest trees are now turning to the high-tech industry. 8 technology companies, including AltaVista, AT&T, Microsoft, Intel, 3Com, and others, have signed on to a campaign organized by Forest Ethics, formerly the Coastal Rainforest Coalition, to boycott products from old-growth forests, often defined as forests that have largely been spared from commercial logging and development. The state of California has acquired from Pacific Lumber Company approximately 1,200 acres of forest land, principally in the Owl Creek area. This property contains old-growth redwoods surrounded by young-growth forests. Pacific Lumber's Scotia Pacific subsidiary will receive $67 million in cash from the state as consideration for this property. Scotia Pacific's Board of Managers has made no determination regarding the disposition of these monies. The state's acquisition of Owl Creek was fully anticipated as part of the landmark Headwaters Agreement signed in March 1, 1999. State money for the acquisition was included in AB 1986, passed in 1998, which included the state of California's financial share of the Headwaters Forest Reserve purchase. We view the sale of Owl Creek property as an additional step toward the implementation of the Headwaters Agreement and the economic certainty that was promised in that agreement, said John Campbell, president and CEO of Pacific Lumber. We appreciate continuing efforts of Governor Gray Davis and his administration and U.S. Senator Dianne Feinstein for their interest and assistance in completing another important aspect of the Headwaters Agreement, he added. As part of this transaction, Pacific Lumber has agreed to donate the land it owns on South Spit in Humboldt Bay. This land will be added to the Humboldt Bay Wildlife Refuge. And Pacific Lumber has also agreed to build a trail to allow better public access to the Owl Creek area, adding parking facilities adjacent to Headwaters Forest. And now we're going to listen to a selection from a CD entitled This Time with Feeling by American Parody. It's called I Want to Log Your Land.
Oh yeah, I'll tell you something. I think you'll understand. 'Cause you don't have an option. I want to log your land. A clear cut's grand, and please say to me, make this infertile sand. I'm gonna log your land. Please let me log your land. 'Cause when I clear cut, I feel happy inside. So, all you locked down activists, just step aside, step aside, step aside. They tell me to be sustainable. What about supply and demand? And anyway, it'll grow back. So let me log your land. I wanna log your land.
And Earth First Radio will be right back.